Civic City Joint Water Sanitary Authority Board of Directors business meeting will come to order March 11th, 2025 at 5:01. We're meeting in Pacific City, Oregon, virtually and in person via Teams, Microsoft Teams at the Kiawanda Community Center, Faye Jensen Room. Rules of conduct. All cell phones, pagers, and other mobile communication devices must be turned off or silenced for the duration of the meeting. All persons in attendance will remain quiet during the course of the meeting unless called upon to comment. Refrain from any behavior that disturbs, disrupts, or otherwise impedes the orderly conduct of the meeting, to include shouting, booing, hissing, etc. Refrain from creating, provoking, or participating in any type of disturbance involving unwelcome physical contact. Be asked to leave the room to conduct side discussions and refrain from any speech of a political nature. Excuse me while I mute my own computer.
I think you are muted.
He's not. Oh, that shows he's muted, at least on my end.
Okay, there we go. All right, the roll call. Director Price?
Here.
Director Dan?
Yes, here.
Director Anderson is absent. Director Strotska?
Here.
And I'm Director Donahue, the chair. Item four. The minutes of the February 11th, 2025 business meeting, are there any corrections or deletions or additions? Hearing none, I'd entertain a motion.
I move that the minutes of the February 11th, 2025 business meeting be approved as presented.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second to accept the February 11th, 2025 business meeting minutes. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Unanimous. Motion carried. The financial report, item A, accounts payable for February 15th and February 28th. Are there any questions?
Yep, I have questions.
Dan?
Let me get to that part. Bear with me. Question about not relating to anything on the expenses, but John, I was curious if the block here got fixed at the airport.
It has not yet.
Okay.
No.
All right. Second question, just out of curiosity, the crane expense is on there, split between both sides, water and sewer. I was just curious personally how that went. Bid-wise, I assume it was low bidder that got the award.
Oh, which job are we talking
this
about?
This is the crane truck.
Oh, the crane truck. Well, we had, we've got a particular make and model that a lot of our vehicles are, and I believe this one was a Chevy. And what we did was, is we worked with the fleet group out of Decana,
yep.
Chevrolet. We did not get...
We asked three different companies for quotes. There was a Ford, a Dodge, and Chevy.
Oh, there was. It's been so long ago. Yeah, I'm having trouble remembering.
It's been two years. Yeah, I was going
to
say.
We asked for particular things. We wanted it to be diesel. It needed to be four-wheel drive. It needed to have a certain crane ability. And everybody gave us a quote with what they thought we could use, and Chevy won.
Yeah.
Okay. The overall experience, it just took too long.
It took a long time, and the biggest reason why is because even just to get a chassis it you have to order in advance. It takes a while, and then from there it goes to a third party
upfitter
that does all the utility box, the crane, all of the work truck components are done by a third party. And that was undoubtedly part of the delay. But yes, we were disappointed it took 13 months to turn it around. But it's my understanding is that's not that unusual for a vehicle like this these days.
Point of order. We have Jeb Pippinger has joined us at approximately 5:05.
The other question was, in not having been here, the crane truck expense was budgeted the prior year?
Yes, it was.
And vehicles that we need are budgeted every year?
Yep. It's always an item that we budget in advance for. And we're looking at the addition, possibly. The next fiscal year of a smaller truck that would be used mainly by me to go to job sites, by Rochelle to pick up the mail, go to the bank, do business-related tasks. But other than that, I think vehicle-wise, we're in pretty good shape.
Okay. All right.
For the foreseeable future, anyway.
Okay, another question. I think I brought this up before, and I got somewhat answers from Rochelle, and that was, again, looking at communications, phones, internet. Are we ever going to get to a place where that might be a single vendor, to where we have one bill to pay and one buddy? We could shop to see who might have the best deal.
We can't. Most of our internet and phone services through Astound or the Wave. Just because fiber is so much more convenient, that doesn't usually go down. I did get our fax line moved over this last month to them, thankfully. But
okay.
Everything that CenturyLink has is all of our hardline alarms to the wells, and Astound can't do that.
Okay, so I need not to bring this up again because it's not going to change.
Well, you'll know if it's going to change.
Yes.
It'll be discussed here in advance.
If it's going to change, it's going to change for everyone.
Yes.
Two more. And I think I've had this answered before, the Accurant expense, the CMMS, that's a monthly fee, so it's like $3,600 or something a month?
It's an annual fee.
That's annual?
That's annual.
Okay, that makes me feel better.
Yeah, and that's a subscription fee. It's our asset management program, our work order generator, and it resides on the cloud, so it's a subscription.
Okay, so I don't get to ask that question ever again. Inland Electric, the shop lights, that project is complete, done, bills paid, and rebates were a part of that. Did we get rebates for lighting in that? I thought we did.
Not for the West Shop, we did.
Not for the shop, but for the office building.
Yeah, okay. It was not a retrofit in the West Shop. It was an initial installation.
Yeah.
We never had lighting
in
there.
Like new construction or something.
Yeah.
That's all I had on expenses.
I only had one. On the 27th, there was a $3,725 fee paid to Parametrics, our engineer, for SCADA work on HC. What's an HC?
Horn Creek.
Oh.
Yeah, we occasionally need SCADA work or PLC automation and controls work, and we have a person at Parametrics that does that for us, and he does a good job.
Thank you. That's all I had. Kathy, do you have anything?
Nope.
Okay, if that's the case, I would entertain a motion.
I'll motion that the expense report be approved.
And read the dates for me.
For 2:15 to 2:25.
I'll second that.
We have a motion to accept the financial report for accounts payable for February 15th and February 28th. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Item B, our fiscal year general ledger. Are there any questions about it? Are we on our budget?
Yes.
Are we under or over?
It's kind of more of a right on track.
Okay, thank you.
That's what it looked like.
We have not got as many STCs as we expected, but we still have 3 more months, so.
Thank you.
Three?
Here. Okay.
The fiscal year.
Yeah.
Okay. Item six, if there are no other queries about the ledger. Item six, manager's report. John?
Thank you, Tom. A couple of things to mention as Rochelle.
Excuse me just a second,
yes.
John. Jason Stewart has now joined us at approximately 5:10.
We're currently at 4 water and 3 sewer STCs. We had projected 10 for the fiscal year. That was our projection for the last couple of years, and we hit it pretty darn good. We've got 3 months left. We're a little behind the curve on that, but we may see some additional applications come in.
Yeah, we did have some people come pick up applications. So.
I wanted to mention, too, in light of the rebates, we had received a significant rebate from Tillamook PUD for our lighting retrofit project. I'm happy to report that we received another round of rebates for the lift station upgrades we did at Beachy, Madrona, Roger, and Cindy. $900 per pump, 2 pumps per lift station. We were very pleased that they qualified for additional rebates, and we have received those. And Tillamook has been great. Tillamook PUD has been great through all this. They really helped us through this whole process, made sure that we were aware of all of the opportunities available to us. And it wasn't until very recently that we realized that we were even eligible for rebates. And these are primarily for the variable frequency drives for the pumps at the lift stations where those upgrades occurred. And the cost savings is with the variable frequency, it's not full on or off, it ramps up or down to meet the need. And because of that, it runs much more efficiently. So wanted to also mention, as you all know, we talked about water main flushing and so forth over the last couple of months. We are all done with that program and had our eyes on this month as being a pretty good representative snapshot of where we were with unaccounted for water. And it came in higher than expected at 26%. We did have a significant water leak at the end of last month down just on the east side of Beachy Bridge on Pacific Avenue. And by looking at the fitting that had cracked, it had been leaking for a while. And this was obviously a contributing factor. That has been repaired. As some of you know, we had another water leak yesterday on Sunday on A Street that was repaired, but we want to bring these numbers down, so we're looking at we're actively looking to see if we can find any more evidence of any additional water leaks in our system, and we're pursuing that diligently. So I wanted to give the board an update about that. The only other real thing I wanted to mention as part of the manager's report is Jason Stewart successfully passed a certification test last month. It was his distribution level 1, and so we want to give our congratulations to Jason for the efforts he's done. You know, it takes some study to get through these tests. And he studied hard, and he got it done. So we're proud of those efforts.
Round of applause. Thank you.
Thank you,
good
Jason.
Job, Jason.
That's about it for the manager's report, Tom.
Okay, let's move on. The unfinished, excuse me, unfinished business, our resolution 25, which would be, correct me if I'm wrong, this, if we approve it today, would be 2501, is that correct? Board member training and travel policy to add on to our board member duties and responsibility resolution, continuing resolution. Are there any questions or suggestions about the form and the policy itself that John submitted in our meeting packets?
I wanted to say I think I incorporated all the comments. The comments seem to be primarily aimed at the request form, and I didn't make any changes to the policy statement itself, but I think I incorporated everybody's questions or everybody's suggested edits into the request form itself.
Yeah, it looks good to me.
Looks good to me.
Yeah.
Being that, as it looks like we have a consensus here, I would entertain a motion concerning Resolution 2501.
So I just have a question about procedure. Was the motion that we considered last month, because we don't have the full motion here, did it say 2501 on it, or did it say 25XX?
It said 25XX.
Okay, so
this will be 2501 if we approve it.
So, okay. So I will move that we approve Resolution 25-01, Board Member Training and Travel Policy.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second to approve Resolution 25-01, Board Member Training and Travel Policy, as part of our ongoing board member duties and responsibility resolution. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Item B, Oregon Coast Bank signatories. John?
Well, first I want to apologize because I completely misunderstood the intention of putting it on the agenda for last month. I was under the impression that I just needed to encourage all the board members to go down and sign, and I was informed by Rochelle that I got ahead of myself on that. The purpose of this is, unless I'm mistaken, and Rochelle, help me with this if it's needed, but we need a resolution to add the new board member to the signers list on our account at Coast Bank.
A motion.
Just simply a motion.
What did I say?
Resolution.
Oh, I meant motion. I'm sorry.
Just simply a motion. Now I'm going to say resolution.
Yeah.
That says to add Dan Doyle to the Oregon Bank signature list.
And just so everybody knows that's listening in, that is for purposes of
signing paychecks and approving table.
Okay, thank you.
On an as-needed basis.
Right.
As-needed, yes.
We talked about rotations and things like that, so that somebody's always available.
You are able to say no if you don't want to do it.
What's that?
You can say no.
I move that Director Dan Doyle, be added to the list of signers on our account at Oregon Coast Bank.
I will second.
We have a motion and a second to add Director Dan Doyle to our Oregon Coast Bank signatories. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carried.
One abstention.
What?
I can't abstention? Vote.
He can't vote.
He can't vote for
so he's an abstention for the record.
Oh.
So what happens now, just so everybody's on the same page, is when we approve of these minutes at the next board meeting, we provide that approval through the minutes to the bank, and then they prepare the documents at that point for everyone's signature.
I suppose I have to sign the minutes before you do that.
You and I both do.
They will not accept a recording of the minutes.
So we can't just go in from the minutes tomorrow and say...
It's got another month away.
Got to be approved, so...
It's a long, convoluted
it's
process.
A long process.
But it safeguards the accounts. Yeah.
Okay, let's move
we
on.
We could have a special meeting to approve the minutes.
Item 8, new business. I see we have Mr. Hunter with us.
Yeah, let me be sure I can unmute his mic here. Let's see.
Yes, he's muted.
Yes. Rochelle, why can't I do the same thing to unmute him?
Well, Mr. Hunter, have you muted your...
On the three dots.
Computer?
Oh, yeah, it won't let you. He's going to have to unmute himself, I think.
Oh.
Jeff, do you have the ability to unmute your mic? It's,
There it goes.
Yes, we can hear you now. Thank you. It had allowed me to mute you, but not to bring you back. So, I'm glad we got that worked out.
Mr. Hunter, do you have a copy of Resolution 23-01 as our current policy?
Yes.
Thank you. Sir, go ahead and give us an explanation in your request.
Thank you. The story is brief. We were coming back on a trip to California, stopped at the beach place to spend a few days, make sure everything's okay. We've had two previous very serious leaks inside the house, and we finally solved that with a rather large $500 valve that is right in the stairway that out of the way so it doesn't get bumped. But the rule at our home has been for the last 6-7 years, turn the valve off when you leave. So we never have water on in the house when we're not there. And I can tell you that we've had a policy that anybody that doesn't do that doesn't come back. So we've tried to do the right thing all the way through. There's been a tremendous amount of construction right next door to us. Frankly, it's been pretty disturbing. What was a hillside next to our house turned into a 10-foot drop-off 5 feet from our foundation. And there's been a lot of working back and forth. They've had to use our lot to get to building their wall on the house, this brand-new house next door. I was pretty convinced that the break was probably because of all the track hole work that had gone across our driveway. But it turned out that when we got the leak whisperer from Salem, that the break was right where the pipe goes into the house. And there's no rhyme or reason for it. We were shocked. $4,600 bill is just approximately was just a tremendous blow to us here. We've already incurred a whole lot of extra expense because of this construction next door that is that we have to pay for, and we want to ask you for some relief on that, more substantial than the $500. My wife's a good researcher. She's been ill for the last number of days, and so she's not participating with me tonight. We did look at policies up and down the coast, and we sent you a letter. I don't know, have you been able to read our letter of February 26th?
Yes.
Good, thank you. The only thing I can add to that is that we're on a water system here in Hood River. It's a private system, Ice Mountain Water District, serves the whole west side of Hood River. And I might add that their policy is to completely forgive leaks. If there's no culpability, if there's some culpability here, or something we've done, or something like that, then I'm sure that's a different story. But they also have a policy of forgiving the whole bill. What can I say? We need some help on this. We've been excellent customers. I think we can say that. You can see that our water usage is never excessive. And our place gets used more and more, quite a bit. We have children, and they're using it. We have friends. The place gets used quite a bit. But nevertheless, the bill has been very consistent. We auto-pay so that you always get paid on time. And we've tried to be as good a customers as we can be. And this thing has happened, which is nobody's fault. I know in America that's not popular. Somebody's responsible for everything. But in this case, nobody's really at fault. We then had an additional break when our contractor turned off the backflow valve, and that was another $243. And that had a cause. He probably shouldn't have been messing with that. And we'll deal with that separately. But we'd like to ask you to consider forgiving this bill, and let us go back and. And also, in our investigation of, Seaside, Lincoln City, Manzanita, Tillamook, and then here in Hood River, some of these groups now have this serve line protection that can be put on the meter. And had that been available, I think given the fact we've already had two leaks that cost us in excess of $60,000 in repairs, that we probably would have jumped on that opportunity to have some early warning of a leak happening. And until that is available to us, we would like to ask you to please consider forgiving this bill, or at least a substantial part of it. I can't think of anything else to say. My history in Pacific City goes clear back to the 1950s when my grandfather taught me to fish on that river, and boy, was it full of fish then. I'm kind of a fossil that way, because I can remember back when fish were plentiful. And we had a cabin in Pacific City through the 60s. It got lost in a financial cataclysm. And I was finally able to return to Pacific City in 2000 and build our home there. And we're looking to live there more and more. We love Pacific City. It's the best place to be. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. At this time, I'm going to ask the opinions of all our directors. We do have a resolution. Our current policy, Resolution 23-01, which relief under this resolution allows up to $500. But any other comments from our directors? We'll start with Director Strotska.
Well, I would be supportive of an adjustment of the $500 that we have in the resolution. I'm concerned about approving more than that, because it would not be in our it's not in our resolution, and it's our responsibility to look out for everyone in our water district and make sure that we are doing the best thing for everyone. I'm a little bit concerned that if we approved such a large amount of money, it's going to open a can of worms, and any time anybody has a break or a problem, they're going to be wanting to do the same thing, and that's not realistic for us to do. So,
Director Price.
These are always very difficult conversations, especially when the homeowner suffers something that doesn't appear to be directly under their control. I do think that in creating the resolution that we have, that kind of situation was considered and discussed. And I understand that there are other ways of doing that business, but this is the resolution for PCJWSA. So I, in fairness to all of our customers who are paying for a public utility, I'm uncomfortable with using their dollars to remedy a situation on private property that PCJWSA had no role in creating, when PCJWSA had no role in creating the problem. I do think, and I don't know if you've discussed already spreading the time frame out for a payment or whatever time frame. My personal feeling is John is the administrator and the manager of PCJWSA, and I think I would be fully behind him proceeding as manager to figure out a convenient payment schedule. In my own view, I would like that not to exceed a year, but again, that's up to you. That would be my feeling.
Director Doyle?
Well, first of all, Mr. Hunter, we feel your pain as individuals and community members.
Yes.
I would feel if this happened to me, I can find better places to spend $4,000 than water running under the ground down the street. The board as individuals, we do have empathy, but we must make decisions not based on empathy and emotions. They have to be based on protocols, procedures, resolutions, and guidelines that we have to adhere to as a public entity. So if feelings were governing our position, I think we'd be opening a can of worms for anybody that could see something that's done more than what we have in place, which is the resolution 2301. The potential for asking individual ratepayers, their owners, and they're the public. So basically, we're asking them to forgive this amount as well, which they're not governed other than, you know, saying they're part owners of this authority. The authority paid for that water to be processed through the methods that the authority provides water. So there's an expense to it, and we can't go to our vendors and say, hey, we had this hardship. Would you help us for this one customer? Reduce your invoice to us for these expenses that we've incurred in treating water for the month. So we just can't. That's not something that we're able to do. So I think again, to beat the same drum as a public entity, watching out for the owners of the authority. If we made an exception, it would open the door for exceptions to be made on every situation that came up. Yours happens to be one of the worst I think the authority has ever seen, and you may be the poster child for looking forward in this has evolved from no policy to this current policy, and the, you know, maybe the service line protection, we can have conversations about that, but unfortunately the horse is gone, and you know, who didn't lock the door? It's we have to stick with our resolution, I think, on in this particular case.
So Jeff, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Are you sure that there wasn't any damage by the contractor from next door?
I have no way of knowing.
Okay.
It was a lateral crack about 9 inches long, and it was pointed down into the ground, so it never surfaced. And even though it had been a long dry stretch, when we were exploring the leak and looking underneath the, in fact, where the leak occurred, it's below a stairwell, and I put a false roof underneath the stairwell to use the area to keep wood dry. And so the area was dry. And yet that leak was down there 2 feet, projecting down through the sand. There was no way to see that it happened.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Well, Mr. Hunter, this happened to me here about a year and a half ago. So I kind of know how you feel and how surprised you were when it happened. I live on Cape Kiwanda Drive, and it was this lot, the leak of mine, was caught within about 4 hours, and it still cost me considerable bomb money, not no anywhere near what your numbers are, but I more than sympathize because this happened to me too. But I concur with my colleagues here that we sure can't change much. And the only other question I have is, John, what's your opinion about spreading these payments out, even at a year, sir? That's probably, with a $500 off the top, that's still somewhere around $300 extra a month, plus your regular water bill. So that's still pretty expensive, but it is what it is, sir. John, how do you feel about that?
Well, I'd certainly be willing to do whatever we could to make this the least amount of pain to Mr. Hunter and Mrs. Dogach. You know, we generally don't like to push payment plans beyond a year. You know, this is an extreme circumstance. You know, typically our payment plans are designed for people that simply fall behind on their monthly billings or something. And most of our payment plans are in the three month range. But we could certainly go longer than that. Certainly up to a year to. Do what we feel like we can to help with this burden. You know, I guess just one of my initial thoughts too, if the board doesn't mind me saying it, I know that the research you've done, we've got the most conservative policy. I do want to say we're a small water district, not a municipality, and a lot of that, a lot of the coffers of municipalities are much deeper than ours. Their utilities are managed differently than special districts like we are, I think that's probably one reason that we've got the most conservative policy about this that you've encountered. But like the board, I definitely am sympathetic to the situation, and you know, respecting the board's decision, I'll work with you any way I can to try to get you through this as painlessly as possible. So that's about the best way I can answer that, Tom.
Do you have any other comments, sir?
I think you've responded. I guess what we should have done is to have the break in our own water district, which is also a special district like yours, with about 560 customers, I think, altogether, and they forgive the bill 100%. So I don't know how these other districts are able to survive, it's almost, you talk about charging the rest of the customers. Well, in some sense, I guess we're kind of asking for an insurance policy against this kind of a catastrophic expense. And if that would be, the same thing would be offered to anybody else. I don't know if everybody would have complained or not, but as I say, our bill is... With the additional water leak now, we're pushing $5,000. And that's just, I don't know. That's all I can say. I will say this. Our country's going through some very tough times right now. And I want to give my appreciation to this volunteer board for having a Class A water district and sewer district, and doing all the work that doesn't get noticed to keep it running. So thank you for your service.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Very much.
All right. Well, we'll make arrangements from here.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
I'll reach out to you.
Do we need to take? Does okay, this need you. To be a vote, or is
so,
discussion
yes.
adequate?
I think it's up to John. I mean, you can see a consensus.
If we're going to approve something, then I would say yes. But
well, it's an appeal made to the board for a decision, whether we appeal or not. It seems to me we should have a motion.
It never hurts to make a motion.
I don't think it's necessary, but I don't think it's a problem. If you'd like to make a motion, I'd entertain it.
I will move that following careful thought and discussion of the appeal of Mr. Hunter and Ms. Dogach, that the board not grant the appeal.
At all?
Well, up to 500?
No. The $500 is part of our rule. So that's that the appeal was made to extend beyond the existing policy,
right.
And that the board has decided not to do that. I'm not saying it in very motion language.
The appeal.
I'll move that based on careful discussion the board conducted tonight, that we have concluded to deny the appeal for additional funds.
I don't like that wording.
Okay, so do some wording, because I obviously didn't have anything written down because I didn't know what would happen. But I do think there needs to be a motion in the minutes.
For the record, Director Anderson got here about 5:40 approximately.
So, Kathy, do you have some good language?
Well, I don't have the exact wordage either, but... I would move that the board would approve a credit of $500 as approved in resolution number 2301 to the Hunters with a payment plan established by the director for the remainder of the $4,191 minus their monthly fee.
I'll second.
Okay.
Instead of director manager.
I'm gonna shorten it up a little, but there's been a motion and a second to allow a $500 credit and deny the request for the additional $4,000 and change for the proposed water leak. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Okay, so
did we need a second on that? I don't know if we got a second.
Didn't?
Yeah,
Ann second.
Ann second.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Sure.
I don't know if this is the appropriate time, but you know, in reviewing the paperwork and the policies from the other districts, including, and John would need to comment on this, the service line protection or some sort of insurance or something, I just wondered if that's worth looking at for the future. As I mentioned with Mr. Hunter, I think we've evolved from a wide open policy to a limitation of the amount of goodwill policy extended to customers. So my question to the board is it something that we continue discussions on in light of the burden that they're facing potentially happening to somebody else?
It's certainly worth discussing. I'd ask Rochelle or John, approximately how many water leaks do we have for our customers' responsibility a year?
We probably get 10 of these applications
a year. I'd say less than 15 for sure.
Yeah.
All a customer side.
Yes. And yeah. They all are, I mean, aside from this one, all less than $300 maybe.
Mm-hmm. So the vast majority fit within our existing resolution.
They don't like it, but they do.
If you don't mind, let me ask a question to the board to get their interpretation of what we saw from some of the municipalities, well, one of them anyway, that had one of these insurance programs. It looked to me that how it works is utility charges everybody extra, some percentage extra on their water bill, which we then use to purchase an insurance policy for exactly this purpose.
Yep, right.
Is that what it sounds like?
I thought I saw something different. It sounded like there was some kind of sensor on the line that the retailers were responsible to purchase.
We could have something like that if we went from AMR
if all of a sudden it went crazy. This would be probably a exactly like this case, where in this community where we have a lot of folks that don't live here full time, we have a lot of vacation homes. If we have 15, and if they purchase something like that, that would work with our meters that you know have radio things going on, telemetry, however we do it, possibly. It'd be the homeowner's responsibility to buy this device and add it to the system to have it installed, and then have an insurance policy that would not only, you know, but that would be the individual homeowner's decision whether they wanted to participate.
The biggest problem with that is we have to buy the tower system, and that's going to cost us about $100,000.
We consider this
improved
when we replace the meters to what we have now, which we can read with a device driving down the street. We considered that very kind of system, and it was considered at that point to be outside the financial reach of the authority, but we installed the new meters to take a step in that direction. And I'm going to say further that all of this it seems to me to be a good topic for a future agenda.
Oh, I agree.
Because I think we're going to quickly get into, again, talking about things that are not on the agenda.
I agree. Perhaps staff could research. I mean, the last time we discussed this, we were talking, this is some years ago, like
yes.
4 years ago,
it was
maybe?
Prior to John's arrival.
So
couple of years prior to John's arrival.
Markets change. Maybe they're cheaper. Maybe they're more efficient. So maybe a little research is in order, and maybe put it on.
When you have information you think is worth presenting and discussing, we can put it back on the agenda.
Okay.
I wouldn't say next.
Doesn't necessarily have to be next month.
Right.
Well, I
this is putting another big plate on his table.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, well, no, but I think, you know, sometimes we, you know, sometimes people learn things that lead to policy amendments and stuff, and it's possible this could be one of those situations. But we will research options, and sometime in the next couple of few board meetings, we'll put something on the agenda to discuss exactly what those options are and what they might cost.
Good idea.
Thank you, John.
Thanks, John.
Yes,
I guess just my opinion is we get one of these so rarely that exceeds the $500. You know, I'm not sure how much we want to expend in that.
Well, I agree. We can.
I put it on the top of the list.
To, customer, but to I, you research. Know, it's. I'm just not sure that it's, you know, if it happened a lot, or if there was more than, you know, but if it seems to me like the $500 policy, I mean, the $500 limit in our policy covers it for the most part. So
for the most part, it always has.
Yeah.
But yeah, well.
But it might be an option for the future.
Well, we'll definitely take another look at it for sure.
Okay.
And I'll help to facilitate that.
All right. Well, let's. Let's move on then. Under new business, item D, surplus equipment bids, our fuel tanks.
We got two bids.
Wow.
Wow.
Dollar?
We're
going
to find out.
We're going to find out. Yeah. We opened that
on $1.50.
Yeah, okay. Boy, he like really
folded that baby.
This is Matthew Reeder, a truck driver of Tillamook, Oregon, and his bid is $100. He lives in Bay City. Terry and Peggy Jones,
they have to come and get it themselves, right?
They do, yes.
He lives in Beaver, and his bid is $102. He also says, I will also take the wooden stairs and platform.
It was offered. You can have it.
Well, $102. Looks like the winner for Mr. Terry Jones from Blaine Road in Beaver.
Okay.
Yeah. Automatically goes to the high bidder.
High bidder,
so.
Yeah.
Is it gone yet?
Yeah, is you it know, gone yet?
This is like Price is Right. Yeah. Price is Right when somebody gives a bid and somebody gives the next bid $1 higher.
$1 more.
Oh, good.
We're on the same page.
All right. So do we need a motion to award or anything?
I think so.
To accept the high bid from...
I think probably
might as well. It wouldn't hurt. I'll move that we accept the high bid of $102 from Terry and Patty
Peggy.
Jones.
Peggy
Jones.
Terry and Peggy Jones for the surplus fuel tanks.
I'll second that. Okay.
All right. We will notify the winner.
All in favor.
We have a second?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to accept the $102 bid from Terry and Peggy Jones. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried.
Yes.
All right, item 8C, surplus equipment declaration, our old 2008 Ford F-450, John.
Yes, we have received, as we talked about, our new crane truck. I put a picture in the board packet because I know that there's, you know, just some curiosity about what it is, what it looks like. You can see it is a a very nice truck, and it will serve the authority very well. We were in desperate need of a new workhorse truck, which this will be for us. And it, now that we have received it, it is time to put our old crane truck to declare it surplus equipment so that we can begin the silent bid process on that.
And it's a complete truck. I mean, it goes with the crane, with everything.
Everything. The toolboxes, everything.
And does it have any problems?
It's got some issues that we'll fully disclose. It does have a couple of issues.
Okay. I would entertain a motion.
I move that the 2008 Ford F-450 be declared surplus equipment and be put up for bid for auction.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second to declare our 2008 Ford F-450 work truck up for as declare it surplus equipment and put it up for silent bid. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carry.
One question, John. Everybody that operates the new truck, are they trained on that to operate it, or is there only one operator that does that?
No, everybody will be thoroughly trained on the truck, and we've started that process but haven't been able to finish it.
So the only auxiliary equipment is the crane. We don't have anything else on it?
It's got an air compressor.
Oh, we do have an air compressor. Okay. All right, item 8D, appoint a budget officer for fiscal year 25-26. Director Price?
I will move that we appoint Authority Manager John Wesley as the budget officer for fiscal year
25-26.
I'll second. We have a motion and a second to appoint Authority Manager John Wesley as the budget officer for fiscal year 25-26. Are there any questions? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Budget calendar for fiscal year 25-26. Would you like to say something, Rochelle?
This is just simply so you guys can put it into your calendars and make sure that there's no conflicting dates for vacations or anything. Occasionally move the dates, but if you want to move your vacation, that'd be great too.
Can you
because it's so involved.
Can you explain to me what goes on? Because I'm not a part of this.
If you look
first
at the
one
at the very end.
The very end.
The very, very, very end is the calendar, and it explains what each date is.
Oh, I see.
So on a budget workshop, usually nothing happens. It's you guys discussing what you may think needs to be on the budget, but usually nobody says anything right away.
Okay.
Then we actually have the budget meeting, and everyone discusses it with our budget committee members, which I believe we are looking for one budget committee member if anyone has friends.
So it's the board and the budget committee?
And the 5%
the budget committee is the board and the five people.
Yeah, you guys wear a different hat that day.
Yeah, we're all one big budget committee. But five non-board members are also participating.
And how are those people chosen?
Application. And then the board will decide probably either at the April or May meeting, depending on how quickly we get applications.
So does an advertisement go out and say we're looking for our budget?
There will be an advertisement.
Then we appoint.
And like board members, they have to reside within Pacific City and whatnot.
So both Luann and I started out as members of the budget committee, and I served a couple years.
I think I just 1 year as well.
And then when openings came on the board, I applied for a position on the board. So if someone is interested in the board, it's a really good way to start learning about what the board does and the finances of the authority.
Okay, so if dates don't work...
If they don't work for a majority of the group, then we will change the meeting.
Okay. But if it's one person, you'll then still carry on.
Then you may have to miss the meeting, yeah.
Then I what?
Then you get to miss the meeting.
Okay.
So is it your option that we will just individually then tell you?
Yeah, if they don't work for you, let
me
know. And
because this calendar is kind of prescriptive.
It is.
Things have to be done in certain order and certain relationships to each other.
They do, and I mean, so, you have to publish things in the paper at certain times, and you have to have a week's notice on those things. And, have to get this calendar out to our current budget committee members as well, so to see if these dates work for them too.
So are all of the current budget members going to stay for this one?
We don't know yet.
We don't know.
Oh, you haven't talked to everybody yet?
Talked to a couple, and they're on board, but there's at least a couple that are harder to get a hold of.
I ran into Mr. Culp, and he sounded like he's still on board.
Oh, good. And I'll probably see Bill tomorrow night.
Yeah, if you can get Bill on board, that'd be great.
Yeah, it's, you know, sometimes it's hard enough to find one person, let alone two. We'll get the word out.
All right. Item 9, guest questions and comments. Besides John here, we have three other authority employees, our guests. So anybody have anything they'd like to comment on? Our guests.
I have a question. Do we know if there's applications for all of the board slots that will be open?
That's upcoming. I have not looked. I could look right now. They update it every Friday.
So you...
March 10th was the deadline, I thought.
Okay, it is.
So you've applied?
I don't want to be on this board.
Just here for
a while.
$10.
Okay.
Don't fill out. Send in a couple times for corrections.
Okay, so hopefully both of done. You have filed the required paperwork.
So Ann's position is...
Yes.
It's
going to
be big.
Position number 2. Thank you.
My internet's very slow. I don't know if this is.
It's okay.
So the two we talked about are the ones that are coming up, correct?
Yeah.
And the other three?
No, there are three coming up.
There's
Anne's
three.
Position coming
oh,
up.
Oh, that's right.
My
too.
Position
oh, yes.
ends June 30th.
That's right.
They separate them every 2 years, or two, and then
yeah.
three.
So we've got two that applied or are
filed,
and one that can't file.
Right.
All right.
Of course, we have to win that election first.
And the deadline has passed for filing?
Yes.
And it doesn't look like anyone has filed?
Let's see. We've got Luann against Max Shoemaker.
I got a competition.
No, you don't.
Oh,
we got Luann filed. We got Max filed for position 2, and we have no one filed for position 4. But this was updated on the 6th.
Yeah.
So
I've gone back and forth with. Let me just.
They redo this on Fridays, so every other Friday.
Oh, good. So then we do have.
You probably are on there.
Trying to find. I've been communicating back and forth. I had to resubmit my application because I didn't know what I was doing, and it went back in. Should be having plenty of time to beat the March 10th.
All right. So let's move on to chair director comments. Item 10, anybody have anything they'd like to mention? Hearing nothing, item 11, I do hereby declare this meeting adjourned at 6:05.
6:05.